Morning, folks. Welcome to WFIW AM and FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you joining me this morning. I'm joined by some ladies from the First Christian Church here in Fairfield, as well as from Albion. Do you go to the First Christian Church too? Is that are you do or do not?
I do not.
You do not. Okay. Well, that's cool.
No. I've got you're from Little Prairie, right?
I go to Little Prairie.
Okay. I've got first of all, Laura Etheridge. How you doing, Laura?
I'm good. I'm good.
Tell me what you do at First Christian Church.
I'm the children's minister, and so I have everybody from age 0 to 5th grade.
Okay.
And take care of all the stuff for them.
How long you been doing that?
A little over 7 years.
Here at Fairfield, uh-huh. All of it?
Uh-huh.
Does that require... I've always wondered. I've had some preachers and pastors and stuff in the past, and I had a youth... I've had a youth minister from Nashville, and always wondered how much schooling it takes to become a youth minister. Do you have a degree in that, or how does that work?
I do. I went to Ozark Christian College in Joplin, Missouri.
Oh, really?
And have a degree in Christian education with emphasis in children's ministry.
Yeah, where have you been before Fairfield?
Joplin. And
did you teach in Joplin?
Yeah, I did. I had an internship, and then I was a children's minister assistant at a big church. A little bit of time in Tulsa, in an internship there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You probably left Joplin before they had the big tornado.
Yes. Yeah, I went back and helped a little bit for a few days.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were gone before then.
Well, welcome to the show. Appreciate you being here. That was Laura Etheridge. She's on my left. To my right is Sarah Collins. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
I appreciate you being here this morning. And you're here just because you've seen this kind of thing before, right?
That is right, yeah.
What we're going to talk about today is a Secret Keepers program, and it's taking place on Sunday, November 8th at 6:30 at the First Christian Church here in Fairfield. Tell me, who wants to tell me what Secret Keepers is about? Tell me what Secret Keepers is about, Laura.
This is an event for moms and preteen daughters. So girls that are from the age of about 7 or 8 to 11, 12, 13. And believe it or not, your girls are considered preteen. It's getting closer. And it's an event for you guys to come and spend mother-daughter time together and talk about the Bible and modesty, wise choices, a little bit maybe about boys or not boys. And just a fun night to really connect with as mom and daughter and get a strong foundation for modesty and good decisions.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You haven't been to one of these.
I haven't. I've obviously researched it a lot and everything,
sure.
But I haven't been. Sarah has.
Sarah has been to one of these before. Sarah, was she, is that right what she's saying over there?
That is, yeah.
That is?
That's exactly what it is. And they do it in a really fun way.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, we'll get to how they do it. How big a crowd do you hope to get? How big a crowd is your ministry at the church now?
Well, we run on a Sunday morning 350-400 or so.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you have, three services?
We have two.
Two.
At 8 and 10. Right now, we've sold a little over 160 tickets already. And so I'm sure we're going to be 200, maybe 250 pretty easy.
Really?
Yeah. Which is fine. We have lots of room. And so if we could sell out, that would be great.
If you could sell out.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll
that
see.
Building at so. The church, if you could sell out that building at the church, that's like 800 people or something, right?
We won't fit quite that many. But don't worry about having room. Tickets not being available. We'll have plenty. And you can get tickets online. You can call the church if you want, but online it's secretkeepergirl.com and go to the ticket page. I can give you the group discount code if you go to the bottom of the ticket page and click on Join Group and choose FCC Fairfield and then use the passcode Fairfield. You will get the tickets for the discount rate of $15 each instead of the regular $18.
Okay.
If you don't get your tickets ahead of time, that's fine. They'll still be at the door for $20. But you can get them ahead of time for the 15 if you use that discount code.
So they have these tours. The Secret Keeper is not just a one-time shot here in Fairfield,
no,
is it?
No, they're all over. I think they're in Texas right now. They're going to be in Canada later in November. So they're going all over.
I'm trying to think for let's get to it. What do they teach you? How does this work at a Secret Keeper show? And we're going to have the founder of the show on later here in a little bit, and I'll ask her about more of the history of it and that kind of thing. But Sarah, tell me a little bit about when you walk into a Secret Keeper show. It must be worth $18. You wouldn't be in here talking about it.
Oh, it's well worth. Yeah, it's well worth the money. It is. Wow, it is.
First thing you see when you walk in.
Screaming girls.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. She makes a good point.
Lots
because
of them.
when you're talking 8 to 13 years old, 7 or 8 to 12 or 13,
yeah.
Whenever you think your daughters might get something out of it.
Yeah.
When you're talking about 7 to 13 year old girls, I'll grant you my experience with that age kids. Not very good. I used to teach junior achievement for a while, but I always like to teach you the eighth graders. Because the younger kids, they scream a lot.
Yes, they do, especially girls.
So is that what you see?
It is. It's very high energy. Lots of music.
Yeah.
Lots of dancing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's when you first walk in, it is a really high energy, fun atmosphere.
Where did you see it?
I saw it in Mount Carmel at First Baptist Church in Mount Carmel a couple years ago.
So this is, she saw it at the Baptist, this is a Christian church event. This is non-denominational.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anybody's welcome.
All right, so you first walk in, you're going to be greeted by all kinds of kids screaming.
Yes, but for good reason. They're going to be having a really good time.
All right, so so if the show's at 6:30, what time do you need to get there?
I think the doors open at 5:30. There'll be a resource center set up with lots of great books and things like that. So if you want to come early and check that out, that's fine. Or you can, there'll be plenty of time to do that during intermission and afterwards too. But it won't even look like the normal NPR. They're going to have stuff all over the stage. I think they have lots of balloon sculptures and stuff like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
So this tour comes around and they basically they'll take over.
Yes.
The multi-purpose room down there at the Christian church and do it in their own style.
Yes, they will.
How many folks are involved here? Do they have writers on the tour? You know, whenever you get like read contracts of bands coming in, they have things they have to have.
Yeah, there was.
You've
got to
have
a
stage this big. You've got to have this kind of. So what kind of how big of a deal is it? How much power? I guess they need a ton of power and a ton of TV screens or something, right?
Well, I mean, we had everything that they required as far as sound and lighting and stage size.
Already
and all that.
Set up.
Yeah. So that's not any big deal for us. We've got quite a bit there. They'll be rolling in right after church on Sunday morning, and we'll be setting up all afternoon. And
Do they do it Sunday nights wherever they go? I guess that might be a question for Dana whenever we get a hold of her.
They're actually going to be in Kansas City on Saturday night before.
Oh, really?
And then they'll be here on Sunday. Yeah.
My goodness. How big? Well, it's probably another question for Dana. How big of shows will they ever do?
In Tulsa, they're at the Maybe Center.
Oh, really? That's a big
that's
a big building.
So that's like maybe Thursday or Friday night before. Yeah, it is. And I don't think they're going to fill it completely, but... Yeah, that's a big venue.
So now, you said there's lots of music. Are there live bands, or is it all piped in, or what?
No, it's the one I was at was mostly recorded music. It was mostly recorded music, maybe some videos up on screens.
Sure.
But they will transform. They will transform the sanctuary.
Is that right?
They will, yeah.
Just make it a place you can't even recognize.
They will, and they will make it a lot of fun. It will be a really fun atmosphere.
Well, I'll be doggone. And bring the whole family, bring the husbands and sons too, right?
No.
They won't enjoy it.
No, leave them home.
Well, we see it is football Sunday. So.
Let them enjoy their football and just come. It's definitely a girl event.
This is a fun mother-daughter event, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm talking with Sarah Collins and Laura Etheridge, and we're talking about the Secret Keeper Girls event coming up on November 8th at the First Christian Church here in Fairfield at 6:30. And we'll be back and talk a little bit more with them. We're going to also talk with the founder of the Secret Keeper Girls, Dana Gresh, here in the next 5 or 10 minutes. She's going to call in. And stick around. Listen on WFIW AM 1390 and 104.9 FM, Fairfield. Back to the Bruce Dickey Show after these. I'll get to you in just a moment. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on WFIW AM 1390 and WFIW 104.9 FM. My name is Bruce Dickey. I'm joined this morning by Laura Etheridge of the First Christian Church here in Fairfield and Sarah Collins from Albion. She has visited some of the Secret Keeper Girls shows, and I believe on the phone line is Dana Gresh, the founder of Secret Keeper Girls. Dana, are you there? This is Bruce Dickey calling.
Hello, Bruce. How are you today?
I'm doing outstanding. Thank you very much for calling in. How are you this morning?
I am vertical, so that's good, right?
Well, that is, you're vertical and taking in nourishment, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
It sounds like we've been talking for about 10 minutes here, and it sounds like this Secret Keeper Girls program is going to be just really exciting at the First Christian Church on Sunday, November 8th. You got a few minutes you can talk to us about it, like 10 or 15 or something like that?
Absolutely, would love to.
Tell me a little bit about the Secret Keeper Girls and how you, I guess this is your baby, isn't it?
Yeah, it is my baby, and it started because I love my baby girl, Lexi. My daughter, Lexi, was about 9 years old, and I was starting to calculate all the risks of the upcoming teen years, risks of eating disorders, depression, body image issues, lies about beauty, Photoshop. Oh, my goodness.
It's got to be terrifically worrisome being a parent in this day and age.
Yeah, and as a mom, you know, we've been through that as moms. We've been through the body comparison stuff, but nothing like what it's like today.
Uh-huh.
Nothing like with social media comparison and apps, hot or not, you know, the app where you can post a picture and say, this kid's not hot, this kid is hot. It's just excruciating today. And the American Psychological Association has really linked some of the things that happen in the preteen years to a higher risk of all those things our hearts fear. So girls who look older than they are, who wear makeup too soon, and last year, or 2011, mascara and eyeliner sales for 8 to 12-year-olds doubled.
That's insane. That's incredible to me.
It's nuts. So there is a pathway to reduce the risk, and it's in not letting your daughter, it's not letting her get on that conveyor belt to growing up too fast.
Yeah.
Keeping the little in your girl.
Well, you know that not only, I know this is geared for mothers and daughters, but most often I see is the fathers just think, stay young, little girl, just don't grow up that fast.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't grow up that fast. And a daddy should be one of the first protectors of that, you know. And one of the things that we see so often is that girls who have a strong father figure are significantly less at risk of all those issues as well, because that guy-shaped hole in her heart is being satisfied appropriately, age-appropriately by her dad.
That's right. Tell me a little bit. You said you have a daughter, Lexi, who was turning 9, and you began to worry about the messages she was receiving. Tell me what this prompted you to do.
Well, I gathered her and 5 of her friends in the church basement, and we started just talking about everything. Like one week, we just talked about music, and we played the most popular music of the day, and we talked about what the lyrics were saying and what it meant, and are there better alternatives? What kind of choices are we making in the music we listen to? And we talked about body changing and hair and everything, and we just started to open up the conversation. And, of course, we used a lot of prayer. Those moms were doing a lot of praying.
Mm-hmm.
So we added that to the mix. But we were using social science and what we call parent mother-daughter connectedness.
So when you started,
risk reducer.
When you started, Dana, you were bringing the mothers in as well, not just the girls.
That's right, because I had been a sexuality educator for teens for maybe about 8 years at that point, and I knew that social science tells us that the greatest risk reducer to an early sexual debut is mother-daughter connectedness.
Uh-huh.
And so I know that the moms are critically important, and that's one of the things a lot of times our sex ed programs, our church programs even, are not involving the parents in this process, and it's a detriment to the success of the process.
Oh, it would have to be. And this got you, had you already, you're a published author now, did the formation of this group with your daughters lead to the book writing, or had you already had that in your past?
Yeah, I already had in the year 2000, I had written my very first book, And the Bride Wore White, which is a book for teenage girls on sexuality and their relationships and healing and starting over when things didn't go quite right, because I think that's a really important part of the conversation. And so that had become a bestseller very quickly. So I was already kind of out there, but what I wasn't aware of is that so many times we focus on the teen years and the college years on the issues of sexuality,
right,
and body image issues. That's great. We need to do that, and I'm still involved in that. I'm on the front line. But the preventative years are those 8 to 12-year-old years, and if we really want our daughters' hearts not to be broken, that's when we begin.
A lot of folks might think that a lot of folks might look at it and think, boy, that's too early to begin educating a little girl about what the world might be 10, 5 years down the road. But really, that give me the argument against, or why that is a good idea to start early.
Yeah. Well, let me be clear to say that at Secret Keeper Girl live events, we don't talk about sexuality. We stick to real age-appropriate stuff, boy craziness, beauty image issues, body image issues. But most psychologists will tell you that the conversation about sex needs to happen between a child's 9th and 10th birthday, that they need to understand the mechanics of sex and what the boundaries of sex are by about that age. And we know that value formation really occurs beginning about their 8th or 9th birthday till about their 12th or 13th birthday. But really, what we believe by our 14th birthday is what we're going to die believing. There may be some shifts and some changes, and sometimes there's some dramatic changes, but they're really the exception. And so I think the biggest argument, though, is not just the value formation that's happening and that as a parent you want to insert yourself into that, but if you're not educating them about sexuality earlier, the world will be. And the foundation that you have to build on, if the world starts the conversation, which may be really untruthful and really dangerous and really full of curiosity and pornography, you have to rebuild something. You know, many kids under the age of 11, the average age of the first inception of pornography is 11.
Good grief.
That's the published average age.
That's amazing.
And so many times, what it is just they've heard the word sex and they're curious. It's not like they're looking for porn. They're not addicts. They're just curious.
No.
And so they look online and they find it, and we want to avoid that as parents.
Well, that makes sense. I'm talking to Dana Green. I am pronouncing that correctly. Or Dana Gresh.
Dana Gresh.
Okay. Well, she is the founder of Secret Keeper Girls, and they are going to be at the First Christian Church here in Fairfield on Sunday, November 8th. Okay, so you had the folks in your basement, right? And you started. How long ago was that?
12 years ago, we started Secret Keeper Girl with 6 little girls.
And this burgeoned out into how big of an organization is it now? How big shows do you do?
We do between 50 and 80 a year, and the average audience size is about 750.
My goodness.
We just did 2 shows in Houston last weekend that were in about 1,200 each. So,
wow.
We're seeing 50 to 80,000 people a year.
Wow, Dana, that's incredible. And so the message, tell me what a mother and daughter are going to find if they go to the Secret Keeper show. What are they going to see?
Well, we like to say it's the most fun they're ever going to have, digging into truth about beauty, body image issues, and fashion. And they're going to have so much fun. I mean, we have a dance off. We have a mother. It is not, you're going to be like, am I in church? Because I don't think I'm supposed to be doing the YMCA in church.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just going to be fun. Balloon columns, confetti cannons. There's a fashion show where we teach daughters how to be appropriate and tasteful, but still in style.
And it sounds like a terrifically positive message too, right?
Very positive. It's about the fact that they are a masterpiece created by God. Whatever this lie this world may tell them, they are perfectly crafted just the way they are.
And you're doing, how many shows a year do you do?
50 to 80. Depending on if it's our debut year, we write a new curriculum every couple of years, and we do more shows that year. But we'll do about 50 this year.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm looking here at the. I was just zipping through the website. How in the world did you get asked to do a TED Talk? That's incredible. That's impressive. Well, I'm so pleased to hear. To realize I'm talking to somebody who actually gave a TED Talk.
See, that's the thing.
That ought to help. That should be that should help your message and bring people. That gives validity to what you're saying.
Right. Well, it was a little feather in my cap, but I gave a TED Talk on tolerance for virginity in the college setting because we have a lot of tolerance for everything but that. And I think under our banner of tolerance, shouldn't we also be including that sexual choice? And so I use just science to argue for that in front of an audience full of Penn State students where my TED Talk was taped.
Oh, is that right? What was the reaction? Yeah, how did it go over? How did the virginity on college campuses, tolerance for virginity go over? I'm presuming mostly okay.
Mostly okay. About 19% of students on a secular college campus are virgins, and I think there was that pocket of those in the audience that were really receptive.
Yeah.
There were also those who looked at me with mocking eyes.
Yeah.
They weren't excited to hear my message. But I was asked to come into several professors' classes and deliver my message as an example of speaking and structure.
Yeah.
So I got to get the message in there. So, very wide range. If you look at my TED Talk, the comments under it range from, I love you, this is the best thing I've ever heard, to, you have had a lobotomy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm wondering, you must run into cynics from time to time.
Sure, absolutely. There are a lot of people who just really believe that what they feel is the best thing instead of what does science tell us and what does self-control say and what is the outcome or consequence of this, and I think that matters too.
What's next for Secret Keeper Girls after you've gone through Fairfield? You've been putting it together for 12 years and tweaking it and doing other things with it. What do you see coming next for Dana Gresh and the Secret Keeper Girls?
Well, there's a lot of talk about adding a boys' event. That terrifies me because I've never been one. But
I got to tell you, I've been one all my life, and I'm terrified. And I don't have daughters or sons, and I'm terrified about the Secret Keeper Girls.
Yes, I understand. Yes, there's not a lot of testosterone at a Secret Keeper Girl event.
I suspect that. I was talking to Sarah Collins and Laura Etheridge here. Laura is helping coordinate the Secret Keeper Girls for the tour stop here in Fairfield, and they said that not too many boys would. Is it okay for some? It's not okay for somebody to bring a son, is it? This is not the son place, is it?
No, a son wouldn't survive there, but I'll tell you what, one of my proudest things is when I see a dad in the audience with his little girl, for whatever reason, he just comes and he gives it everything, and that's one way to earn your man's heart right there.
That's great. See, I hadn't even thought about that, the as opposed to just mothers and daughters, father and daughter, too. That's an outstanding way for the daughter to help learn and become more confident as well, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I got to tell you, Dana, this sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun as well as a real good learning experience. I certainly appreciate your time. Laura, did you have any questions for Dana, or did I ask everything that you wanted to know?
I think you did great. And thank you so much, Dana, for calling in today and Monday on the Vine.
Yep.
So we appreciate it so much.
Yep, absolutely. Can't wait to be with you, Laura. God bless.
Well, thank you very much, Dana. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Dana Gresh. She is the founder of Secret Keeper Girls. Secret Keeper Girls are having a show on Sunday, November 8th, 2015 at the First Christian Church here in Fairfield, Illinois. It's going to be at 6:30 till 9 o'clock that night, and it should be a lot of fun. I'm talking with Sarah Collins from Albion and Laura Etheridge here from Fairfield from the First Christian Church on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Back with more after these.
I'm walking out by myself. Well, I was talking to myself about you. What am I gonna do? singing this song about you.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM and FM, WFIW, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined by Sarah Collins from Albion and Laura Etheridge here from Fairfield. You live in Fairfield, Laura?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. I didn't know.
I'm from West Salem originally.
From West Salem,
yeah,
okay.
But I live here.
Laura is the Children's minister. I didn't write it down. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
About it. The children's minister at the First Christian Church here in Fairfield, and they are putting on a Secret Keeper Girls program on Sunday night. It's not this Sunday. Next Sunday, November 8th at 6:30. We've been talking. We also talked with Dana Gresh, the founder of Secret Keeper Girls. And Laura, I'm assuming that this is, you're not the only one involved here. You got a lot of volunteers involved.
Yeah, we'll have people there taking care of tickets and fixing. The team will be here for all day, like I said, so we'll have people fixing lunch and dinner for them. And they have a huge resource center that they bring, so there's going to be books available. And so we have people running that. Sound, well, they bring their sound stuff, but
yeah.
Lighting and our youth group girls will be there to help out with the crowd. But their resource center is great. There's going to be stuff there, not just about the topics they cover, about modesty and for preteens and the boys and stuff, but there's also stuff there for teen girls. There's some stuff for boys if you've got sons at home. So it's not just stuff for tonight or for that Sunday night. You can get resources to take home and use later too.
Who are some of the other folks that you have working with you in your crew your crew of volunteers? I'm presuming that you're not the only person at the Christian church that is involved in this.
Right. Well, Jeff, of course.
Jeff Lyon.
He's always heavily involved in stuff like this. And then just a lot of volunteers that will be there that night. To make sure it goes off without a hitch, hopefully.
Sarah Collins from Albion has been to this event and is a witness to it, and you're planning on going again, I presume. If not, we'll just say that. If you can't make it, we're just going to say that you are. And you know, the thing that I, in talking with Dana, as well as in talking with you and with Laura here in between the shows, I asked. And I'm kind of glad I asked it off the air because it's kind of a stupid question. I didn't realize that there was a need for this kind of organization. I didn't see an organization basically to me what I understand of it is to help little girls stay prim and proper. To me, that's something that folks do at the home, do in their churches anyway. But apparently, in society today, that's not always true.
it does seem to be getting harder and harder. We were talking a little bit earlier, and it seems to be getting harder for young girls to make good choices about what to wear. And so,
well, she talked about when Dana Gresh gave that statistic about the first consumption or not some realization of pornography.
Yeah.
At age 11.
I know, that blew me out of the water too. It's a scary number when I consider the age of my kids.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
I have a 6, an 8, and a 9, almost 10-year-old.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm. But when I look at their my daughter is almost 10. She'll be 10 next month. And when I look at the choices she has for clothing, the thing that I really appreciated, and I think she did too, about the Secret Keeper, the Crazy Hair Tour, was that I asked her this morning. I said, you know, what did you remember about it? It's been 2 years since we went.
And, so she was 8.
She was 8 when we went. She had a wonderful time. And I asked her what she remembered. And she said it was a lot of fun, which, of course, she remembered. She really remembered the fashion show. She remembered a decades fashion show where they—
What was that?
They must have— I don't remember the decades fashion show. But she said they brought out girls that were dressed from the decades with different music. She really likes music. So she remembered the music, and they just let you see the clothes from the decades, and she thought that was fun.
Do they talk? Dana was talking about some of the, that they tell you what some of the lyrics are, the music they'll talk about, some of the music that you might or might not want to be listening to, or might or might not want your kids listening to. Who in this day and age would you prefer to have your kids listen? Because they're going to listen to whatever's popular. But what popular musicians would you prefer to have them listening to as opposed to other popular musicians? I mean, have I played them this morning?
Well, I'm a bad person to ask that too. At our house, we're super conservative when it comes to the music our kids listen to. So we stick to the Christian artists because they're really safe for our kids to listen to, and they promote a message that we promote at our house.
Okay.
So it makes it very simple.
But they're not in your house all the time.
Well, I don't. That's all I really listen to. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not saying you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about what would you prefer your kids not hear?
I actually don't know what the popular artists are right now.
Is that right?
I really don't.
Good for you, Sarah. How about you? How about you, Laura?
I teach junior high Sunday school, and my junior high kids are blown away at my lack of knowledge.
No kidding. Yeah. I bet you they could play stuff in your class that you would just
they tell me something.
Make your socks turn.
It drops my jaw.
In the church van, going to camp or whatever, the kids have their stations that we want to listen to, and I say, no, that we're going to listen to this, you know, and by the way, when you're out and about, you should only be listening to this too and not that, you know, so I try to tell them, but...
All right, Laura, you got to give me a name. Who do you not want to... All right, I'll start.
I'm kind of like Sarah. I'm not really...
Nicki Minaj. Do you want the kids to listen? You're unfamiliar with
Nicki
Minaj.
I don't know what she sings.
We should probably go back to Close. I know Close.
I don't know names very well.
All right, let's go back to Close. What clothes do you want the kids avoiding?
Well, the thing about Secret Keeper girls is they take, rather than avoiding clothes, it's not about avoiding clothes. It's about taking what there is.
Finding the right clothes.
And either finding the right clothes or finding ways to make the cute clothes appropriate. Okay. And that's kind of... where it gets fun is find a way to take that skirt that you think is cute, that maybe is a little bit too short. Find a way to make it appropriate rather than
drop the hem.
Put leggings under it.
Leggings are really popular. Put some leggings underneath it, or the shirt that's a little bit too cropped.
Yeah.
Instead of wearing it by itself, maybe you can throw a cute little tank top underneath it. And so rather than standing up. A model like a little teen model, and saying, here's what you don't wear and here's what you do wear, and showing them something that they
so you don't
think
have Goofus
really
and Gallant
and saying don't do it.
They don't have Goofus and Gallant up there.
They don't.
they'll actually have some girls from the crowd come up and do this model. Yeah,
they do.
And I think that they're gonna give them a little test that they can do.
Oh, really?
You know. So when you're trying on clothes, trying on a skirt, sit down in front of the mirror, Indian style.
Yeah.
And if you can see too much, then so can everybody else. So put something under it.
It's really practical.
You know, so it's going to teach them how to do this.
Folks probably don't realize this kind of thing, do they? At least
it's really practical. It's nice takeaways. It's things that, honestly, 2 years later, my daughter is still doing when she buys her clothes. And now she's old enough that I can send her into a dressing room and she can come out and she can say, I like this. And I can say, is it appropriate? And she kind of knows what that means. And she can, for herself, make a decision and say, yeah, it's appropriate, or no, it's not. And it makes shopping a lot of fun.
Well, that's you're not having to, you're not judging.
No.
I mean, she's able to judge for herself.
She's able to judge. It has given her some guidelines. And again, instead of saying, like, you know, here's the don'ts and here's the do's.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, let's see if there's a way. And she's even been able to say, like, there's no way to make this appropriate.
Really?
And she's able to put it back on the rack. And
no
so
kidding.
It's kind of given her some freedom.
And with as you now have 10-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. or nearly 10, and two other daughters, are the other children daughters as well?
No, they're both boys.
Okay. 10-year-old daughter and the boys after that. As you're shopping with your daughter, The appropriateness of the clothes may be quite a bit different now than it was 20 years ago, mm-hmm. when you were shopping for yourself. Is that would you say that?
Maybe, but I remember having lots of conversations with my mom as well.
Oh, is that right?
And maybe arguments probably with mom, and
yeah.
which is part of this is it's not always easy between mom and daughter.
Yeah.
So. This or boys or whatever it is, if they hear it, if you bring them and they hear it from Secret Keeper Girl,
yeah.
from the stage, it's going to be coming from you too, because you're there.
Well, that's the
but
thing.
It's going to make those conversations easier at home afterwards.
That's the thing. You're hearing it from another source. I mean, for coming from mom, they might just think it's nag, 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 as opposed to coming from somebody bringing it to you in a fun way.
Yeah.
And it makes some sense
to
somebody who might. I presume that having been a 10-year-old in my life, a lot of times things parents say make no sense.
Exactly. But if somebody else says the same thing, then it's okay. I know I was that way.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Tell me about that. All right, I got a few minutes. Tell me about the modesty test. Do you want to tell me about the modesty test, or you want to skip that?
Well, I don't want to ruin all the surprises.
Oh, well, now there's got to be more surprises.
A lot of the modesty test is really making sure your clothes are functional, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot about what modesty is.
Yeah.
It's just making sure that as you go about your day and what you're going to do in your day, that your clothes cover you the way that you're expecting that they will. And so that's a lot about, you know, what modesty is.
Yeah. Well, that's
something we all appreciate. Right?
Yeah. that's going to take place. That's going to take place at the Secret Keeper Girls, mm-hmm. outing, or what are you calling it? A tour
event.
A tour event, which is taking place again November 8th, week from
the
Saturday.
The thing to point out, just to remember about modesty, is as we try to develop a heart of modesty and a community that wants to uphold, you know, modest standards.
Sure.
Just to remember that the reason that we do that is because we want to see value in our children, and we want our children to see that value in themselves. It's not always about the do's and the don'ts. It's that you're valued enough.
Well, you know, and also promoting their confidence and making sure that they're growing up strong members of society.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And well, and know that they're created just the way God wants them to be.
There you
go. That they are valued that way, and He wants them to stay safe and stay innocent and to live life the way He wants and not the way the world wants, which is what this is kind of all about.
Laura, remind me how folks get tickets for the Secret Keeper Girls.
You can call the church if you don't have online access or something. We can get you tickets. Or you can go online to secretkeepergirl.com. Go to the ticket page. If you can want to get the group discount tickets, you can be part of our group. It's already established. So go to the bottom of the ticket page, click join group, find FCC Fairfield, and use the passcode Fairfield, and then you can get any number of tickets that you need for just the $15 group rate. You don't have to buy the big $10 ticket package that's already been established, so you can just get the two or three or however many you need. Get groups together. If the girls can go with their friends, then they will help keep each other accountable. And if you go with your daughter's friends' moms, that'll help you out too. Whenever times do get difficult. Maybe, you know, because there are always those hard days, and you can call up one of those friends and just talk with them.
Right with them. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I was interested in Dana saying that fathers can bring their daughters too.
Yeah. If you know, if you've got a granddaughter or a niece or a little sister, maybe mom's not in the picture,
not able to or, yeah.
Or even dad. I think that would be a really, really special dad-daughter time also. So it doesn't have to be moms and daughters.
Well, Laura, thank you very much for coming in today. Sarah, thank you very much for coming in today. It sounds like it's just going to be a wonderful event coming up on November 8th at 6:30. Ladies, thank you again so much.
Thank you.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. We'll talk to y'all again tomorrow. It's going to be the playoff preview show. Have a great day.